106.7 Kennet Radio.
10 minutes past 11 on Kennet Radio, and I'm joined now by Councillor Carolyn Culver. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Very good, thank you.
Tell us first about your area that you represent.
I represent Ridgeway Ward on West Berkshire Council. That covers the Ilsleys, Compton, Hampstead, Norreys, Yattendon and Frilsham. Six villages in total.
And that must have unique challenges as a councillor to get around apart from anything else.
Yes, it is a very big ward geographically, but all of the rural wards are. But it's very nice insofar as each of the villages has got its own distinct character, its own parish councils and community groups and so on. So I love it. I love serving the people of Ridgeway.
We're facing a new council now after the election. What do you think the priorities of the council should be?
Councils cover a lot of different services. So if you went out into the street and asked a selection of people, they'll all come up with something different. So obviously adult social care is a really big thing. It's the biggest part of our budget. For people with children, education would probably be their main priority. For me, I would emphasise two things. One is the environment. The council has a very ambitious target to become carbon neutral as a district by 2030, which is not long to go. I think this council will need to focus very heavily on that and very seriously. Another priority, I think, is housing. There's not enough social housing in the area. There's a long list of people waiting for a home. People often talk about affordable housing and say big developments are good because there's lots of affordable housing. But when you scratch the surface, there's not enough social rent housing for people on the waiting list, and that's a massive priority as well.
That must be particularly an issue in your villages.
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of people, especially young people. We have a lot of people in the area who've lived there, generations have lived there all their lives, and the young adults want to stay there, but they can't afford anywhere. We also have older people who'd like to downsize and they can't find a small property. So one of the things that we are bad at is building small homes. So you will often see with a large development, there's lots of 3, 4 or 5 bedroom homes, which is great if you've got a big family. But if you're young adults, you've just got married, if you're older people and your children have fled the nest and you want to downsize, there just aren't enough properties and people are having to move away. And that is one of the factors contributing into tearing the heart out of the villages, because those generations of people who were on the parish council and in the community groups and so on drift away.
You've taken over as the chair of the Scrutiny Commission. What is the Scrutiny Commission?
So the Scrutiny Commission basically can look at anything that the council does, and it can scrutinise the work of the executive. So the executive is basically the leadership of the council. It's like a cabinet in government, basically. There are 10 individuals. They each have a portfolio for different areas of council services. So we can look at their forward plan. And we can say, OK, there's this topic coming up that we know is really controversial or problematic. We can ask officers to write a paper and it comes to the committee and the councillors can ask questions. And then we can feed that into the executive and say, when you make a decision about this, we really, really think that you need to concentrate on the following issues. So it basically gives opposition councillors an opportunity to have an input into the policy. Because we have what's called an executive-led council. It's not a committee council, and that might sound very technical and boring to most people. But we do need mechanisms like the Scrutiny Commission for opposition councillors to have an input into policy. Otherwise, we can wait 4 years until the next election and not really have much influence over anything.
And that is, you're working before the decision is made,
yes.
Not afterwards.
Yes.
And you talked about reports and that. I saw in the agenda something called calling in. What's
yes,
that?
Exactly. So that is the exception. That's something that you can do after a decision is made or in the process of it being made. So we had two this week. One was about a traffic order in Thiel to close a road next to the school. And the other one was about Monk's Lane Sports Hub, which has obviously been quite controversial. So before the election, the Liberal Democrats, who were then in opposition, called that decision in and we discussed it on Tuesday night. So it was a bit of a strange situation. It was what I call a legacy item for the previous administration. They were very concerned about Monk's Lane, but the Liberal Democrats have now decided, with the Green Party support, who I represent, to not go ahead with that. But one of the things that I was able to do as chair of the commission is say, let's not just knock this policy on the head, but look at the impact that that's got on our playing pitch strategy. So will we have enough playing pitches now if we're getting rid of that? What happens to the legacy planning permission for Monk's Lane in the future? What costs were incurred by the council, by individuals who went to judicial review, by the rugby club where the facility was going to be? So to actually delve into those questions and not just say, right, it's all over and done with now, let's forget about it. But what does that leave us with? We need to look at those things and learn the lessons for the future. So I want to be in a position where I can go to the executive, OK, we've changed the policy, but if you ever do anything like this again, you know, it needs to be, I don't know, properly tendered, costed, risk managed, etc., etc.
It sounds a very healthy thing, and perhaps, well, you're the first opposition leader, I think, for a long time. Sorry, opposition councillor who's been chair of the committee, is that right?
My understanding is Jeff Brooks from the Liberal Democrats was the chair of Scrutiny Commission a few years ago. I don't know how long ago, so I'm not officially the first.
Yeah, but it's a big thing.
Yeah, but the first from the Green Party. We are the, well, we're not the smallest party anymore because we have a Labour colleague now. But there's two Greens. So I think it's a really, really good decision by the Liberal Democrats because to have a Green in charge, you know, I have no fear or favour to the Liberal Democrats or the Conservatives, so either of them can come to me with a call in, or they can look at the forward plan of the executive and say, Caroline, I think we need to delve into this topic more deeply, and I have absolutely no problem with that. I'm not going to judge things in a political way. I'm not going to be trying to play one off against the other. I have got absolutely no interest in that at all. I'm just interested in what the residents of West Berkshire are concerned about, and I hope that I can do a good job.
Well, I remember we carried an interview Nikki Hinman did with you before the election, and she mentioned to you that she hadn't heard a bad word about you from other councillors, so you do seem to be very well respected.
That's very nice, it's very kind. I have heard that from quite a few people. I do try to do a good job. I do work really hard. I kind of treat this like a full-time job. Being a councillor, it is hard work, and a lot of people do it on top of their day job, which is incredibly challenging. And most people do have to work. I do some freelancing on the side, but this is very much my main job. I think you have to take elected office really, really seriously. You don't go into it lightly. You have to devote the hours and the attention. You can go to meetings and you can skim read the paperwork for half an hour before, or you can spend several hours going through it, educating yourself about the topic, going off and doing additional research to ensure that you are confident that you understand all of the policies. So I choose to do the latter.
And what is West Berkshire Council like? I know it's a strange question, but, you know, councils are different. What do you think West Berkshire Council is like to deal with? Is it efficient? How do you feel about it?
I think one of the downsides of West Berkshire Council is that we are a very small unitary authority. So we cover all of the services that a borough or district council would and a county council would. So, for example, in Oxfordshire, you would have two layers of government for our one layer of government in West Berkshire, so putting the town council and the parish councils aside. So one of the challenges of that is we're very small in the number of staff we have and the resources we have compared to other councils. It's very, very challenging at the moment to recruit enough officers because officers like ecologists, planners are in high demand. I don't think we can probably pay as high a salary as some other councils can. We've gone through restructures, which has put a hold on recruitment. That has put a lot of pressure on the existing staff. So I think we do face incredible challenges, and I think that the Liberal Democrats will probably find that there isn't as much money to do things as they would have liked. So it's going to be, you know, shuffling things around and reprioritising things. But that is a problem for local government across the whole country. The governments of recent years have slashed local government funding to the bone. So every now and then you can apply for something specific. So during COVID, we could apply for things. We could apply for active travel schemes for cycle paths and things like that. And the government is able to say, oh, look at us, we're doing these wonderful schemes. But in actual fact, they're not even giving us as much as what we used to get before. And that is an incredible challenge. So taxpayers will come to you and quite rightly say, I've paid my council tax. Why aren't the potholes filled in? Well, the backstory is we have had our funding slashed to the bone. So that is a challenge for local government across the whole country, including West Berkshire.
And I know we share, i.e. West Berkshire Council shares responsibility with the other councils in Berkshire for things like fire and public protection. Do you think there's any further scope for doing more sharing like that?
I do wonder whether we could do more work with other councils about things like ecology and biodiversity. So that's something I'm very passionate and concerned about. We have to have ecological assessments when we have planning applications. We also have a lot of obligations that are coming in our direction from the Environment Act, a lot of which kick in this coming autumn. We've just lost our ecologist at West Berkshire. I really hope that we can recruit another one, and hopefully more than one, because we do have a lot of work to do in that area. But maybe that's something we could explore doing with other councils. Whether that would be practical, I don't know. But it is one solution to work with other councils to try and achieve those economies of scale that I talked about, that we lack in a small unitary.
It's interesting, because I thought it was difficult to get jobs as an ecologist.
There's a shortage of ecologists. And so a lot of ecologists will go and work privately. But there is a shortage in public service because the wages are much lower. People will often work in the public sector and then go to the private sector once they've got some experience and earn more money. And you can't blame people with the cost of living, the price of housing, etc. But we do need more ecologists in the public sector.
Couple more questions. First of all, with the local plan, what are your thoughts on that and the main issues there?
I was involved in something called Planning Advisory Group. So we went through the local plan line by line in the last administration, and we did that very, very thoroughly. The Liberal Democrats are concerned about the development in North East Thatcham. We are also concerned about that, whether it's done the correct ecological surveys, the impact of flooding, the impact on infrastructure and so on and so forth. We know sewage is a big problem, for example. It's always going to be contentious because Newbury and Thatcham are very, very built up. You could argue we need more intense housing development in the towns, near to the public transport. On the other hand, you could have more housing in the countryside. And of course, the people in the countryside don't necessarily want that because they want to protect the rural areas. So it's very, very difficult. You're always going to have a lot of disagreement over a local plan and where that housing is going to go. So the Liberal Democrats have now got an extension until the spring of 2024 to look again at the local plan. There are concerns about where that will leave us as a council. Will it leave us weak in our policies? How much is it going to cost, bearing in mind how much input the planning officers have made into developing that plan thus far, because it had already gone to the inspector and it should have been reaching its conclusion. So it's good that we can look at it again. I hope that's a positive thing. I don't know how much that's going to cost. That might be something that we have to investigate at Scrutiny Commission.
And the nub of it often comes back to North East Thatcham, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I was talking to Lee Dillon and he mentioned the possibility of closing down Kennett School where it is and moving it up to Floral Way and using its current site for housing. What's your thoughts on that?
I have not heard about that. No, so I can't really comment on that, to be honest. I know there's concern that in North East Thatcham there's going to be a lot of housing there. There is a real problem with infrastructure, and that goes for the whole district. There's not enough attention to fresh and foul water infrastructure. We know there's a problem with sewage. We know that when new developments come along, there's often not enough attention to the existing pressure on the infrastructure and how the new development is going to impact. There's often not enough thought about doctor surgeries, about school places and so on. But then the flip side of that is in rural areas, you have schools that maybe do have some spaces available. So you could do some infill development in some villages, but that has to be handled very, very delicately. In Compton, in my ward, we have 160 houses coming down the line for a brownfield site. Nobody wants to keep that brownfield site. It's an eyesore. It needs to be decontaminated. But similarly, the development needs to be handled sensitively. We need extra capacity in our schools, extra capacity in our doctor surgery, and also with the water system. So initially, the developer wanted to allow some people to move into the site before the infrastructure was updated. And I managed to change that condition at the planning committee last year to say nobody can move into the Compton Institute site until all of the water infrastructure is upgraded. And that is absolutely essential for the people who move in there and also the people who already live in Compton.
If you had a classroom of students in front of you, what would you say to them in terms of why be a councillor?
It's a great privilege to be a councillor and to serve people. I used to teach politics A-level. There is nothing in there about local government, which I think is a real shame. People should grow up knowing what local government is, what it does, how one can become involved in it. So I have been interested in politics for about 30 years now. I was a councillor in Aldershot, where I was born and brought up. I love it because you're kind of your own boss. Obviously, the people who vote for you are your boss ultimately. But then apart from that, you can make of it as you wish. You can be very, very proactive. You can get out there into the community. You can get involved with the parish councils, with all of the committees on the council. It's really, really interesting. And there are so many topics that you can delve into. And it's just great to go out and meet all of the local people.
That's great. Oh, well, you're a terrific role model, if I might say. Thanks very much indeed for talking to us, Carolyn. And best of luck with your work as a councillor.
Thank you very much, Paul.